Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking at 8 o'clock, a busy morning on the roads with a number of crashes and big backups. I'll show you how to avoid the slowdowns.
And I'm tracking two things in the Weather Center. One more day of heat and then very powerful Hurricane Lee. We'll talk about when it could curve toward the United States.
The Hopscotch Music Festival continues today and tomorrow. Just ahead, how safety is top of mind for Raleigh police as crime spikes downtown.
Plus, it's another day of AC issues for the state's biggest school district. Two Way County schools are closed again because of the air conditioning. It just cannot keep up. And Elizabeth just mentioned it's going to be another hot day. Dangerous to have those kids in the class that can't do it. So we'll talk about that. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
I'm Jeff Hogan. It's tough to learn in that kind of environment when it's so hot. We're learning more about how this heat will continue for us today. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now.
Looking at another day in the mid-90s. Yesterday, we ended up in the low 100s. 102 yesterday, 102 the day before. Yesterday, we broke a record. Probably not going to break the record today, but still awfully hot with those mid-90s. We do have a cold front that is sitting near us, or a stationary front. It is helping to bring us a chance of some scattered storms later today. Those storms come up from the south, and you can see they're really isolated in nature. Not likely to see a lot of that during the evening commute in the Triangle, but we will down to the south around Goldsboro, Fayetteville, and Clinton. And then during the evening, around dinner time, a few light showers move through. Keep that in mind if you're headed out to a Friday night football game or to hopscotch. We take a look at across Wake County and looking at lots of sunshine. Our dew point is way over there at 69 on the muggy side, and we jump to 75 degrees. So it is it's warm out there. We do have a 20 to 30% chance of some scattered storms later on today. And of course, our high temperature will be in the mid 90s, which is 10 degrees higher than normal. Hurricane Lee, new this morning. It has winds at 165 miles per hour. It's been undergoing rapid intensification. It's likely to have 180 mile per hour winds by 2 p.m. on Friday. If that number sounds high, it is. It would put it in the top 10 strongest storms in terms of winds that we've ever seen in the Atlantic. And we'll take a look at some of those records coming up. Waiting for the Hurricane Center's path to start to make that turn, we're still expecting this storm to turn and move past the coast of the United States, not necessarily making landfall, but there will definitely be some impacts here in North Carolina. I'll show you what they'll be coming up, Brian.
It is 8:02 right now, and it is busy out there on our morning commute. Want to start off on the Beltline at 440 westbound. A report of a minor crash right around the Capitol Boulevard interchange. See that latest live sensor update indicating a 14-minute delay between 87 and mostly out toward the Capitol Boulevard area. Once you get to Capitol Boulevard, 440 westbound's in fine shape heading toward Wake Forest Road and beyond. So if it makes sense for your commute, try to pick up 440 westbound from there. We're not seeing any big ramp delays on Capitol at the moment. Again, as you head away from there back toward Glenwood, you're in good shape. In Garner, look out for a crash at Garner Road at Auburn-Knightdale Road, seeing some heavy delays in all directions through that intersection this morning. That reportedly is a crash with injury, so it may be a little while before it gets cleared up. Want to head over to Knightdale for a look at 87 at Smithfield Road. An earlier crash there has cleared. Some good news overall. The backups that we've been tracking on 87 southbound have been easing. Now seeing just a 2-minute delay between 64 Business down toward the 540 interchange. Elsewhere around the Triangle, we have some slowdowns that we're watching on the northbound side of 885 in Durham. Between I-40 up through Cornwallis and TW Alexander, you're looking at about a 5-minute slowdown overall. Once you get up to Ellis Road, traffic's flowing pretty freely. And on the southbound side, just a little bit of brake tapping around the 147 merge, about a 3-minute delay showing up overall.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Well, thousands of people will be in downtown Raleigh today as the Hopscotch Festival continues, and the city is working to make sure festival goers will be safe. WRL's Kelsey Coffey is live in Moore Square for us this morning. Kelsey, this event is happening at a time when there's been an uptick in crime in the area.
Good morning, Michelle. It sure is. An estimated 25,000 people will be in downtown Raleigh for the festival today and tomorrow, and shows will be happening in venues across the area, including here at Moore Square. But I want everyone to check out this map. WRAL's data trackers looked at crime trends over the downtown area where Hopscotch is taking place from the Warehouse District to Moore Square. Just in the past 8 months, Raleigh police have reported 252 drug offenses, 216 assaults, and 182 thefts in this part of downtown. Raleigh's mayor says she's seen some of this activity firsthand.
I witnessed with my own eyes a drug deal take place. I mean, we have kids running through restaurants, stealing tip jars, harassing staff.
This is video now after a deadly stabbing Tuesday night at a nearby Go Raleigh station. Raleigh police are now looking to hire private security to help them combat this rising crime. But we haven't received any crime reports from the Hopscotch Festival last night. And the music will get started here again at Moore Square at 3:30 this afternoon. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News, live in Raleigh.
Apex Friendship and Millbrook High Schools are closed today. The air conditioning just unable to keep up with this hot weather. HVAC problems at these two schools joined several other Wake County schools dealing with the same issues. Yesterday, they both dismissed classes early. The same happened at South Garner High School. Willow Spring High School was closed yesterday, but school leaders there say the AC is fixed and it will be open for the full day today.
This morning, we're working to learn what led to a fire that forced dozens of people from a retirement facility. We know at least one elderly woman suffered severe burns. It happened last night at the Independence Village of Old Raleigh Assisted Living Facility. That's off Duralee Road. The WREL Breaking News Tracker was there. Several crews responded. We're told a total of 50 residents were evacuated.
A new COVID booster shot could get approval as early as today. Comes at a crucial time when cases are ticking up across the nation. The FDA plans to greenlight the updated version of the shot. The latest doses are designed to target the Omicron subvariant. Even though that strain is no longer dominant right now, the drug makers and medical experts say the booster should still protect against the variants that are circulating right now. Once the FDA signs off on the new booster, the CDC will issue its own recommendation.
Well, this morning, a decision from the NCAA ruling UNC wide receiver Tez Walker ineligible all season is sending shockwaves throughout college football. This boils down to him being a double transfer and a new rule enacted by the NCAA this year, limiting eligibility for second-time transfers. He started at NC Central, but COVID canceled the season. He then transferred to Kent State, but then transferred to UNC to be closer to his ailing grandmother.
You would assume that he would be grandfathered in, but the NCAA, despite hearing all these circumstances, even getting letters from NC Central and from Kent State vouching for Tez Walker, saying that he should be allowed to play, NCAA still said no.
And sports analysts say the next course of action could involve Walker and UNC taking the NCAA to court. Number 17 ranked UNC plays at home against App State tomorrow.
Happening today, a new round of deputies will be sworn in to help protect folks in Wake County. 20 new deputies will graduate today as part of the 31st Basic Law Enforcement Training Academy. The ceremony is at 2 this afternoon at the Wake County Commons Building in Raleigh. Sheriff Willie Rose says that he believes the deputies are prepared to serve the community with honor, integrity, and professionalism.
President Joe Biden will arrive in New Delhi today for the annual G20 summit. The president will meet with world leaders to talk about the war in Ukraine, climate change, and the economy. President Vladimir Zelensky President Putin will skip the summit for the second year in a row, as will Chinese President Xi Jinping. Both leaders are sending other officials in their absence. On Sunday, Biden is expected to visit Hanoi, Vietnam, before traveling to Alaska for the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks.
Apex police have an important warning for you this morning. They say a man is pretending to be an officer and is trying to pull people over. Apex police say that person told them the impersonator stopped them on Center Street near US 1 on Tuesday. Police say he was driving a black Ford Crown Victoria with red and blue lights in the visor area. The victim says the man's car had damage to the front bumper. Apex police say if you're stopped by someone claiming to be an officer, you should stop in a well-lit area and call 911 to verify. The Detroit Lions started off their season with a bang. They beat the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs in their own building in the NFL opener last night. That interception set them on their way. This game ended late. Maybe you didn't see it. Patrick Mahomes had a little bit of a tough time right there with that one. But then this is sealed it. A touchdown run to close things out, and the Lions win it 21-20.
And then coming up on Sunday, the Carolina Panthers will take on their division rivals, the Atlanta Falcons. You can catch all the action on Fox 50. Kickoff is set for 1 p.m.
Right now we're at 8:10, and we are seeing and hearing from the American man stranded in a massive Turkish cave.
I need a lot of help to get out of here.
It is a race against time to get him out. His slow recovery from an illness.
Plus, a chip so fiery hot, it's dangerous. How a social media challenge is causing the company to pull it from store shelves.
And we're seeing a good bit of sunshine across our area right now. But later this afternoon, we'll have a few isolated thunderstorms. I'll show you who's more likely to see the rain coming up.
Is the time right now to take a live look at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. It is hot in the Sandhills. It's hot all the way up to the Triangle. But hey, big news coming out of there. Pinehurst number 10, ready to open in April of 2024, just ahead of U.S. Men's Championship there in June. You're watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Elizabeth Gardner, we're going to take it all the way out to the coast and beyond where we can check the tropics here. And this Lee spun up quickly, huh?
It really did. Rapid intensification in the last 24 hours. In the 5 o'clock advisory yesterday morning, it was 80 mile per hour winds. Now it's at 160, but could be 180 this afternoon. If it hits 180, it would be in the top 10 of all storms that we've been able to record in the Atlantic. We haven't seen any major track shifts. It still continues to be pretty consistent coming through the same spot and making that turn. Now, the turn hasn't appeared in the National Hurricane Center's forecast yet, but we anticipated that it will. It may be about, say, Thursday before we start to see that turn in the path. Interesting this morning, it looks like perhaps it's undergoing or has undergone a little bit of an eyewall replacement. What that means is that it's likely to lose a little bit of intensity and then become even more intense as a new eyewall forms. And it looks like the new eyewall is trying to form here just in that last loop of the satellite view. It has winds at 165 miles per hour. Again, by this afternoon, could be up to 180. And then it starts to move into some ever so slightly cooler water, and that would allow it to weaken just a touch so that by 2 a.m. Wednesday, it has winds at 140. Notice the path doesn't start that northerly turn yet, but we do expect to see that potentially during the day Wednesday or Thursday. Take a look at some of these historic storms. Again, this storm could be 180 miles per hour by this afternoon. Hurricane Allen in 1980 was 190. That's the strongest ever recorded in the Atlantic. And then a number of them at 185 mile per hour winds. Labor Day storm, Wilma and Dorian. And Dorian, you might remember, Dorian did a lot of damage to the Bahamas and eventually made landfall as a Category 2 storm on the Outer Banks right there at Cape Hatteras. But it was not at that particular level at that point. And this storm, fortunately, doesn't look like it's going to make landfall. The place we're most worried about definitely is Bermuda. It's going to move into some cooler ocean waters. Franklin moved through the same path and it welled up. It drew up a lot of the cooler ocean temperatures, and that could help the storm to weaken a little bit. Lots of heavy surf, rip current danger along all those islands of the Caribbean. And then we'll pause it here Friday evening at 5 o'clock off the coast of North Carolina, 10 to 15 foot seas. But on the Outer Banks, it's probably going to be maybe 4 to 8 foot seas. Of course, Bermuda right here could really be in trouble from this system. We'll continue to watch that path. Tropical Storm Margo formed yesterday, and it could become a hurricane, but it's likely to just stay out in the Atlantic. We have a stationary front that is likely to help to bring us some showers and thunderstorms later on this afternoon. Around 3 or 4 o'clock, we start to see some of these down south. Those will lift northward. It's about a 30% chance for us later today, but Saturday we'll have a better chance, looking at a 50% shot at it, and those thunderstorms will likely develop right after lunchtime. Coming up, we're going to take a a close sort of hour-by-hour look at the forecast for the NC State-Notre Dame game. But Saturday looks like highs in the mid-80s. We'll see 80s all the way through next Thursday and some much more pleasant overnight lows in the 60s. Brian?
It is 8:17 right now. Just getting reports of a crash with injuries at Davis Drive near High House Road in Cary. It looks like it's just south of High House Road on Davis Drive, seeing a little bit of a delay in that area. They're also still clearing that crash from Cary Parkway right around, or rather Chapel Hill Road at Northwest Maynard Road. Want to update you on the delays we're tracking on 440 westbound as well, with a minor crash reported right around the Capitol Boulevard interchange between 87 and Capitol Boulevard, about a 14-minute backup showing up on the sensors in that area. If you can pick up 440 westbound from Capitol Boulevard or Wake Forest Road, you'll be in fine shape heading out toward Glenwood Avenue. Also note that we're starting to see a little bit of a ramp delay building on 87 southbound, beginning right there at the New Hope Road interchange back toward the 440 area. In Garner, a crash at Garner Road at Auburn-Knightdale Road, still in the clearing stages now. We still have that minor crash reported at Wilmington Street at Chapin Oak Road on the south side of Raleigh. And just east of Fuquay Varina, look for a crash at 42 around Panther Lake Road in the clearing stages. Around Durham, we're okay on our major routes. And as we take a look at our major approaches into Raleigh, a 6-minute slowdown showing up right now, coming in from Wake Forest on southbound Capitol Boulevard.
Thank you, Brian. It's been almost 2 weeks since two Fayetteville State University students died on the same day in unrelated incidents. And now the community is coming together to show their support. Fayetteville police mistakenly listed 22-year-old Mia Barfield's death as a homicide. She was found dead August 26th in the University Place apartments after her family requested a wellness check. Investigators have now not said how she died. 32-year-old Radiance Ellis died the same day. Her family tells WREL that she was a type 1 diabetic, and she died after a long battle with the disease. Her husband says she graduated from FSU in 2013 in criminal justice and was seeking a second degree.
But this most recent, when she was going back for social work, and she had talked about, you know, of course, throughout the years of trying to figure out what you want to do, but when she locked in on social work, she definitely was all in for it, you know.
Ellis's funeral is today at the Cape Fear Conference B headquarters in Rayford. Barfield will be laid to rest on Saturday at Salvation Praise Full Gospel Church in Farmville. Disney dropped part of its lawsuit against Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. It's now focused on the claim that DeSantis and his allies weaponized their political power to retaliate against the company for exercising its First Amendment right to free speech. Tensions rose last year after Disney spoke out against a bill that bans certain classroom instruction about sexual orientation and gender identity. The bill passed and DeSantis signed it into law last March. The lawsuit claims that DeSantis illegally punished the company since it spoke out.
After months of picketing, actors and writers have revived a push to get paid while they're on strike. Get out of those unemployment benefits. The Writers Guild of America joined the Screen Actors Guild in a rally Thursday in California to show their support for what is Senate Bill 799. If the bill becomes law, workers in California can get unemployment benefits after 2 weeks of striking. A similar bill stalled in the state Senate 4 years ago, facing opposition from the state Chamber of Commerce. It claims there's a difference between someone losing their job and someone who decides to go on strike.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, we want to show you some new video into our newsroom of what's happening in Greece right now. Evacuation orders are in place after some heavy rainstorms. And even though those rainstorms have eased a bit, dams are bursting and rivers are overflowing their banks. Bridges are being washed away. Six people have died. Six others are still missing. The military and fire departments are actively rescuing people, plucking them from the top of rooftops. This is also happening in Bulgaria and nearby Turkey. This is a developing story that we'll continue to track here at the WRA Live Center.
And we have video from the U.S. Open Tennis Championship halted last night as protests erupted. Climate protesters began shouting inside Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York. And at one point, a protester glued his bare feet to the concrete floor. This happened during American Coco Gauff's match, which was delayed for nearly an hour because of the disruption. It was a semifinal match that Gauff went on to win, advancing to her first U.S. Open final.
An extremely spicy chip is now being pulled from store shelves. It comes just days after a Massachusetts family says their teenage son died after eating it. However, they're still waiting for an official cause of death. The company says the move is out of an abundance of caution. The chip has been the center of a viral social media challenge for several years. It involves people eating just one chip, but that chip is described as one of the spiciest in the world. The company says the chips are not intended for children or anyone with sensitivity to spicy foods, food allergies, or those with underlying health conditions.
An urgent rescue mission continues this morning in Turkey to save an American scientist who's stranded now more than 3,000 feet down in a cave. This is the first video that we've seen of Mark Dickey since he became trapped down there. The 40-year-old veteran cave diver experienced severe gastrointestinal bleeding on Saturday while working on a caving expedition. Thankfully, two doctors were able to get down there and deliver units of blood to him and administer those transfusions. This is Dickey. He is trapped in the biggest cave, third deepest cave in Turkey. His rescuers now face a monumental task of bringing him back to the surface with plans to evacuate Dickey on a stretcher.
We take care of our own, and it's really special to be taken care of.
Yeah, he's an expert in rescues himself. How long this takes will depend on whether or not Dickey will be able to leave the cave on his own. If he needs to be carried out on a stretcher, that will make this rescue much longer, much more difficult. 8:23 right now. Coming up, Hopscotch Festival continues in downtown Raleigh today. And with recent crime in that area, the city is working to keep it safe.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Friday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey in for another hot day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking temperatures right now. Elizabeth, we're going to get up into the upper 90s again.
Yeah, this is going to be the last day that we should see temperatures in the 90s for a while. Maybe the rest of the year, but I wouldn't hold your breath on that. 75 right now in Wilson. We're seeing some low clouds here. There have been some patches of that this morning. Durham, you can see, is mostly sunny, and so is Fayetteville. Our temperatures across the viewing area are in the low to mid 70s right now. I would grab an umbrella heading out the door if you're going to be out past or up to, say, dinner time or so, because there are going to be a few isolated storms that pop up. If you're headed out the door for exercise, now's a good time to go. It will be in the mid 90s this afternoon, feeling more like upper 90s with the heat index, Brian.
At 8:27, a little bit of improvement on 440 westbound this morning. We have a minor crash getting cleared from the Capitol Boulevard interchange area. We've seen some big delays out there. Again, it's starting to ease up a little bit, about a 7-minute delay showing up on 440 westbound from 87 out to Capitol Boulevard. If you can pick up the Beltline from Capitol Boulevard, you'll be in good shape heading toward Glenwood Avenue and beyond. Another crash that I'm watching over on the west side of Cary at Davis Drive, just south of High House Road. Not seeing big delays at this point. Elsewhere in the triangle, we're looking good for the most part. In Durham, a little bit of a slowdown on northbound 885 around TW Alexander Drive.
Thank you, Brian. The Hopscotch Festival continues tonight and tomorrow. Shows are happening at venues across downtown, including Moore Square, and Raleigh is looking to hire private security to help them combat rising crime in the area. We have not received any crime reports from the Hopscotch Festival last night. And next on Fox 50, Elizabeth is staying ahead of Hurricane Lee, which is now a Category 5 storm. She'll show us the most updated storm track. And on today, pop sensation Olivia Rodrigo performs her biggest hits.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Two things are tracking in the Weather Center today. One more day of some fairly intense heat and then powerful Hurricane Lee. I'll show you what impacts we could see and when in the North Carolina area.
The Hopscotch Music Festival continues today and tomorrow. Just ahead, how safety is top of mind for Raleigh police as crime spikes downtown.
Plus, the uncertain future of casinos in our state. Why state leaders say the plan may be in jeopardy, but there is still a possibility. I bet we'll be talking about that today, no doubt. Here, 8:30 is the time. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, starting off with plenty of sunshine behind us. Right. We're going to warm up again today. Hopefully this is going to be the last super, super hot day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, please.
I think I can do that just for you. Our temperature's in the mid-90s. Now, yesterday and the day before we hit 102, yesterday that ended up being a record. We're not likely to break records today, but it's still going to feel really hot. I mean, mid-90s, you know, 100, it all feels pretty similar. We take a look at future casts. This is going to be one of the bigger differences today. We'll see more cloud cover streaming in later this afternoon and a better chance for thunderstorms. There were a few of those near the Virginia line yesterday, but by 5 o'clock, we're seeing some of those around Fayetteville, Clinton, Goldsboro. By dinner time, that lifts on up into the Triangle area. Of course, we have a lot of things going on. Lots of football Friday games. Of course, hopscotch in downtown Raleigh could have some at least minor impact there. We take a live look at Lake Gaston, looking beautiful. It's going to be a decent day to be out on the water today, especially the first half of the day. Over the weekend, there are going to be more scattered showers and thunderstorms. Mid-70s right now. Our dew point is at 69, and we do have that chance of some scattered storms this afternoon, just a 30% chance. Looking at a high of 94 this afternoon. With the heat index, it'll feel more like around 97 or 98. Hurricane Lee has been incredible to watch over the last 24 hours. This time yesterday, it had winds at around 80 miles per hour. It's now at 165, moving northwest at 14. It could reach 180 mile per hour winds by this evening. That would put it in the top 10 strongest storms by winds that we've ever seen in the Atlantic since we've been keeping records. We're expecting the storm to turn northward and start to weaken, especially as it moves into some cooler ocean water. You can see the forecast continues from the models to be in very much agreement that this storm is going to stay off the coast of the United States. But I'll show you what some of the wave heights could be around our part of North Carolina coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Downtown Raleigh will be full this weekend. Thousands of folks will be there for the Hopscotch Festival. And WRS Kelsey Coffey tells us the steps that the city is taking to make sure all downtown events are safe.
An estimated 25,000 people will be in downtown Raleigh for the festival that continues today and tomorrow. Shows will be happening in venues across the area, including here at Moore Square. WRAL's data trackers looked at crime trends over the downtown area where Hopscotch is taking place, from the Warehouse District to Moore Square. Just in the past 8 months, Raleigh police have reported 252 drug offenses, 216 assaults, and 182 thefts in this part of downtown. Raleigh's mayor says she's seen some of this activity firsthand.
I witnessed with my own eyes a drug deal take place. I mean, we have kids running through restaurants, stealing tip jars, harassing staff.
This is video after a deadly stabbing Tuesday night at a nearby Go Raleigh station. Raleigh police are now looking to hire private security to help them combat this rising crime. We haven't received any crime reports from the first day of the festival, but the music starts again here at Moore Square at 3:30 this afternoon. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
And coming up in the next 10 minutes, lifestyle editor Kathy Hanrahan will join us to break down the acts that you can see at Hopscotch and the other two music icons coming to the Triangle this week.
Apex Friendship and Millbrook High Schools are closed today. Air conditioning just unable to keep up with this hot weather. And these are two of several Wake County schools dealing with HVAC issues. Yesterday, they both dismissed classes early. Same happened at South Garner High School. Willow Spring High School was closed yesterday, but school leaders there say the AC is fixed and it'll be open for the full day of school today.
And this morning, we're working to learn what led to a fire that forced dozens of people from a retirement facility. We know at least one elderly woman suffered severe burns. It happened last night at the Independence Village of Old Raleigh Assisted Living Facility off Durley Road. The WRL Breaking News Tracker was there as several crews responded. We're told a total of 50 residents had to be evacuated.
A new COVID booster shot could get approval today as early as this afternoon, and it comes at a crucial time when cases are ticking back up across the nation. The FDA plans to greenlight the updated version of the shot. The latest doses are designed to target the Omicron subvariant. Even though that strain is no longer dominant right now, drug makers and medical experts say the booster should still protect against the variants that are circulating out there. Once the FDA signs off on the new booster, the CDC will issue its own recommendation.
A man is seriously injured in a shooting at a concert in Tennessee that happened last night. Memphis police say the shooting happened at the FedEx Forum where Lil Baby and Glorilla were performing. The video shows the aftermath of the incident here. You can see a man was taken away on a stretcher. No word on any arrests or how the shooter got the gun inside the venue. Lil Baby is scheduled to perform at PNC Arena on Monday.
Happening today, a new round of deputies will be sworn in to help keep people safe in Wake County. 20 new deputies will graduate today as part of the 31st Basic Law Enforcement Training Academy. The ceremony is at 2 this afternoon at the Wake County Commons Building in Raleigh. And Sheriff Willie Rose says he believes the deputies are prepared to serve the community with honor, integrity, and professionalism.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, Kroger agreeing to pay out a big settlement in the opioid crisis. You see the headlines here on CNBC. The company announcing it will pay $1.2 billion to the U.S. subdivisions and Native American tribes to settle the majority claims that it fueled the opioid epidemic through lax oversight of its pill sales. In a statement, Kroger says this would allow for full resolution of all claims on behalf of those parties. Still, the company said the settlement is not an admission of wrongdoing or liability. Of course, states have sued drug makers and wholesalers like Kroger over the years. This followed a settlement made with Walmart and Walgreens with other states as well. This is a developing story that we'll continue to track here in the WRA Live Center.
Ken, thanks for that. There's a new policy requiring charter schools to be compliant with state laws before receiving funding. The State Board of Education adopted the new policy yesterday. It allows the board to withhold money if they think a school is not in compliance with state or federal laws. The board was stripped of its ability to approve or deny new charter schools earlier this year. They do still have a responsibility, though, to fund them.
The future of expanded gaming and new casinos in North Carolina may be in jeopardy. In an email WREL obtained, House Speaker Tim Moore told his fellow Republicans that he does not have the GOP votes needed to include a plan to open new casinos in the state budget. Moore said Republicans would not pass a state budget that did not have at least 61 House GOP votes. WREL investigative reporter Brian Murphy weighed in with what could happen next in the state legislature.
We still have a long time before next week when the budget votes will actually get taken. We haven't seen a copy of the budget. We don't know what's going to be in it. And we're not 100% sure that this is dead. So I imagine there'll be a long weekend of arm twisting and trying to figure out what they can support in the budget.
A caucus meeting will be held next week to discuss a state budget without the plan for expanded gaming in it.
The Detroit Lions started off the season in big, big fashion last night, defeating the defending Super Bowl champs at their home, where they just unfurled the banner for the world championship. That interception led them in the right direction, and the game ended late. Maybe you missed it. This sealed the deal, making it a tough loss for the home squad. Here's the winning touchdown. Lions get a 21-20 victory in week one.
And we'll see what the Carolina Panthers can do on Sunday. They'll take on their division rivals, the Atlanta Falcons. You can catch all the action on Fox 50. Kickoff is at 1 p.m.
We have an update coming up to the ever-developing Alec Murdaugh case, a new investigation that might give him a chance at a retrial.
Plus, a big weekend ahead for the NC Courage, how you can rally behind the team as they compete in the NWSL Challenge Cup Final.
And we'll give you a live look now down in Sanford this morning. Elizabeth Gardner tracking what could be a historic Hurricane Lee out in the tropics there as we look in Lee County here. And she'll update us on the track of that rapidly intensifying hurricane that could make history.
A42 taking a live look at Lake Gaston this morning. Looks nice and quiet out here this morning. This is a look from the Point Restaurant. Could be a little busier over the weekend. We're not going to see the extreme heat that we've seen the last several days. We're also going to add some thunderstorms to the forecast, though. Just a few today, but a better chance on Saturday and Sunday. So keep that in mind as you're making your outdoor plans. Not going to be a washout either day, but we'll see those afternoon and evening storms popping up. Mid-70s right now in the Triangle with a dew point of 69, and we make it into the mid-90s this afternoon. Looking at 94 in Raleigh, 95 in Durham. serum and 95 degrees in Fayetteville. None of that's likely to be a record. 99 is the record for today in Raleigh, but that was the record yesterday. We hit 102. We're not likely to hit 102 today, but you know, mid-90s is definitely going to feel hot, especially with the heat index. It'll feel like upper 90s. 93 for Fayetteville, the previous record 101. So not likely to be a record-breaking day today, but still 10 degrees above normal. Normal is 85 degrees, and we'll hold it in the 80s well into next week. So this is the last 90-degree day, at least in the seven-day forecast. And maybe for a while, because we're about to move into next week where we have a good chance of below normal temperatures. And the last average 90-degree day of the year happens on September 12th, which is next Tuesday. I'm not about to promise you that we won't see any more 90-degree days, but statistically, it's possible that we wouldn't. We do have a stationary front that's sitting across our viewing area right now. We'll have more cloud cover that streams northward this afternoon. We'll start with a few isolated storms down around Fayetteville, Clinton, and Goldsboro. Those will drift northward up around the Triangle area this evening. Not likely to see a whole lot of rain there, so if you're headed to a Friday night football game or to hopscotch this evening, you might see an isolated shower, but certainly not going to be a washout. 20 to 30% chance. Now, Saturday, we're up to 50% chance. Sunday, we're going to knock it back down to 40 and then 20 overnight. Hopscotch for this evening at 9 o'clock, 80 degrees, and tomorrow is 77, but tomorrow at about 9 o'clock, we get about a 40 to 50% chance of some thunderstorms. It is Football Friday, and the big issue for the high school kids this week has been the lack of practice because it's been too hot. 85 at game time, and it'll feel more like 87 or 88, so that should, I don't know exactly what the rules are, but that should keep things cool enough that they'll be able to play their game, and there's a slight chance of a thunderstorm. At 7 o'clock, the heat index, 86, but that heat index will climb into the mid-90s this afternoon. Notre Dame plays at NC State. The game starts at noon. Temperatures shouldn't be a problem, looking at 83 at noon and 85 at 2 o'clock. The big question will be the scattered thunderstorms, 40 to 50% chance as that ramps up mainly the mid to late afternoon. Hurricane Lee has been rapidly intensifying the last 24 hours, moving northwest at 14 with winds at 165. You can see the eye is just starting to reform there. We're looking at the forecast path. The forecast this afternoon is for 180 mile per hour winds, but it is likely to weaken by middle of next week back down to Cat 4. It's still a very powerful storm. It will most likely swing north after that and bring some heavy surf and definitely some rip current danger to the coast of North Carolina. But right now, we're not anticipating a landfall. A lot can happen between now and then, though, so keep checking back. We're looking at highs in the 80s all the way through Thursday, and the overnight lows drop on into the 60s, which will feel nice.
We've been talking about it all morning. Three big concerts coming up this weekend in Raleigh. And WREL Lifestyle editor Kathy Hanrahan has the details and out and about's best bets. Kathy, first, let's talk about the Hopscotch Music Festival.
This has been going on for so many years. It's amazing. Okay, the annual festival kicked off last night in downtown Raleigh. There's going to be more than 120 acts performing during the festival, including Denzel Curry, Japanese Breakfast, Margot Price, and Dinosaur Jr. Some general admission tickets are still available, so check their website.
And I think when you think of country music icon, you think of this man. There's a country star in town.
Oh, yeah. Willie Nelson. Yeah. He's bringing his Outlaw Music Festival to the Coastal Credit Union Music Park at Walnut Creek. He's going to be joined by the String Cheese Incident, Los Lobos, and Particle Kid. The concert starts at 4:45 p.m., and so there's so many acts they have to squeeze in.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And you can wrap up the weekend with a hip-hop show at PNC.
This is a hot show. LL Cool J is headlining the Force Live concert. It's his first headlining arena tour in 30 years. He's going to be joined by The Roots, DJ Jazzy Jeff, Juvenile, and De La Soul. It's going to be a great show, all happening on Sunday.
A lot of music going on this weekend. And for more on these events and even more picks for the weekend, you can go to WREL.com and search keyword out and about. Thank you, Kathy.
The United Auto Workers Union is threatening to go on strike next week if its demands aren't met. Right now, there is little optimism coming from the automakers or the union. Union workers have a list of demands, including a 40% raise over the length of a four-year contract, the ending of a two-tier wage system for some workers, and a 32-hour work week at full pay. General Motors made a counteroffer yesterday that features a 10% pay hike. A statement from the UAW president said GM's counteroffer was, quote, an insulting proposal that doesn't come close to an equitable agreement.
Only on WREL, the military holds on to promotions caused by one senator's protest over the Pentagon's abortion policy is impacting top military leaders at Fort Liberty. An Army spokeswoman told WREL's Lena Tillett the promotions of six top officers are on hold, including a deputy commander position with the 82nd Airborne Division. A former Bush administration official and Duke professor told us Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville has the right to have policy concerns. However, he should take them up with Congress. He worries about the impact to the entire military to not have leadership in place. Meanwhile, the spouse of a Marine who once served at Camp Lejeune says she worries how lower-ranked officers will respond.
And it makes us feel like, are we next? What's going to happen? And that sense of uncertainty is never a good thing when you're talking about serving and our national security.
What's making it really unprecedented is the damage that this is doing to our readiness and to our relationships with our allies and the way it puts us on our hind feet.
Now it's unclear how the standoff between the senator and the Department of Defense will resolve itself. More than 300 senior leaders are on hold, and that's expected to double by the end of the year. New developments in the ongoing saga of Alec Murdaugh. The South Carolina Attorney General is now asking for an investigation into allegations of jury tampering during the double murder trial for the ex-attorney. And the move comes just days after Murdaugh's attorneys filed a motion this week requesting a retrial. The South Carolina Law Enforcement Division released a joint statement with the AG on the matter, and they say the agencies are committed to a fair and impartial investigation. Murdaugh's lawyers accused the Colleton County Clerk of Court of tampering with a jury in order to get a guilty verdict. Murdaugh was convicted of killing his wife and their younger son.
State Superintendent Catherine Truitt wants to push back the date on complying with the new Parents' Bill of Rights to January. She says state leaders and school systems are still waiting for answers on how to comply with the law. It's preventing them from being able to implement it right now. For example, Truitt said she isn't sure what permission is and is not required for schools to provide medical services in case of emergency to kids. Now, Truitt says she's been talking with lawmakers about doing this, and a spokesman for Senate Leader Phil Berger says they are aware of the concerns and are working to address them.
Well, today marks 1 year since the death of Queen Elizabeth II. King Charles thanked the public this morning for all of the love and support the Queen presided over the throne for 70 years.
The nominees for the 2023 CMA Awards have been announced, and a first look at Eli Roth's holiday horror film. Ashley Dvorkin has all of this and more in the Hollywood Nation.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury,
Fox heads to court, country superstars headline, and Wilson scores in the Hollywood Nation.
I got a heart like a truck.
Lainey Wilson is the top contender at the upcoming 2023 CMA Awards. The list of nominees were revealed on Thursday, with the country singer leading the pack with 9 nominations, including Entertainer of the Year. Last year's champ, Luke Combs, is also up for the coveted prize again this year, earning 4 nods total. Luke Bryan and Peyton Manning will host the annual ceremony, airing live from Nashville on ABC November 8th.
I was a cowboy.
Speaking of country music, the lineup for the 2024 Stagecoach Festival has been announced. Eric Church, Miranda Lambert, and Morgan Wallen will headline the 3-day event kicking off April 26th at the Empire Polo Club in Indio, California.
Thanksgiving is a time for appreciation.
Today's First Looks features Eli Roth's new holiday horror, Thanksgiving. The film follows a serial killer terrorizing the residents of Plymouth, Massachusetts. It slashes into theaters November 17th.
Mr. Gary hasn't lost a case in over 12 years.
And Jamie Foxx teams up with Tommy Lee Jones in The Burial. Prime Video released the trailer to the upcoming dramedy about a funeral homeowner enlisting a charismatic attorney to help save his family business. The film is based on true events. It arrives on the streamer October 13th.
How do you feel about working with black folk?
I suppose I am a little prejudiced.
Did you meet my team?
That was Ashley Dvorkin reporting. The North Carolina Courage are back in the National Women's Soccer League Challenge Cup final with a chance to win back-to-back championships on Saturday. The Courage will be hosting Racing Louisville FC at 12:30 at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary. The winning club will get a $1 million prize. The Courage advanced to the final after a dramatic 1-0 win in the semifinals against the Kansas City Current. Midfielder Brianna Pinto says the team wants the park to be packed tomorrow.
We're so excited. We want Wake Med Soccer Park to be packed out. We've been really proud of the performances we've had at home, and we just continue to hope growing the game here in North Carolina.
And tickets are still available on the team's website. Last May, the Courage won the Challenge Cup with a 2-1 victory over the Portland Thorns. No club has ever won two consecutive Challenge Cups, so good luck to them. We'll be right back.